Okay, well, we're going to continue on over in Marcus, because he wants to come back to us. Let me put that there. Over in Galatians. And we got to chapter 3. Again, Paul's here deeply concerned about the saints in Galatia, the false teachers that have been coming in and adding to the gospel. It's like, well, you don't got enough. You got to do more. Well, it's nothing you did anyway. God did. Christ did. And as we got into chapter 3, and Paul was asking the Galatians to reflect upon their own experience, you know, and think back to the benefits they've reaped from God, the blessings they've reaped from God. You know, did they get that by the works of the law? Or did they get that by the faith of Christ, by the grace of God? And it's, you know, pretty obvious. And that section where he first started asking them to reflect on that things, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3. And I'm just going to read chapter verse 5 again as he's asking them to reflect on their experiences. And he said this: "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" I mean, did these things come by the faith of Christ, by God's grace? Or do they come by the works of the law? Well, it's essentially, what's those questions you ask that you already know the answer to?
Rhetorical.
A rhetorical question, you know. Paul doesn't really expect an answer. And it's obvious that he doesn't, that he expects them to say by the hearing of faith when he gets down into verse 6. And he gets into the example of Abraham. He goes on, assuming that the answer, of course, it was by the hearing of faith. And he says, even. So, they're reflecting on what's come before. It was by the hearing of faith. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, know ye therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so, Paul brings up the example of the faith of Abraham. And is it where these false teachers were coming in there and said, well, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. Except a man become a Jew, he can't be saved. Except a man... And the Jews look back to Abraham as their father, you know. Except a man have Abraham as their father, they can't be saved. Paul says, I want you to think about that a little bit, you know. You all are already the spiritual descendants of Abraham because you're of like faith. And so he says, even in verse 6, even as God Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now that harkens back to Genesis 15. And God had already told Abraham he was going to make a nation of him, and all nations were going to be blessed through him. And God speaks to Abraham again in Genesis 15. And I'm going to read there the first 6 verses of Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So God had already said, I'm gonna make a people of you, and everybody's gonna be blessed through your seed. But it hadn't happened. Not as fast as Abraham thought it should have. And so God talks to him again. And Abraham says, you know, that's all well and good, but I don't have any kids. And I have this Eliezer, who's the steward of my house, and he's from Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house, not in my house, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So this Eliezer was a servant, essentially, but he'd grown up, he was close to the family, and he was born in his house. He didn't even come from Abraham's loins. And Abraham's saying, well, maybe we'll just have to make him the seed. Maybe it's just going to have to, because I don't have any children. And you said you're going to make people on me and bless people, so I guess we're going to have to use Eliezer. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth from thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Paul's going back and quoting there from that passage in Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was counted to him. It was accounted to him. It was put on his account. See? Abraham wasn't righteous of himself, but God imputed righteousness to him. He gave him righteousness that wasn't his. He put it on his account. He accounted him to be righteous. And there's only one that comes from, and that's Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. I want you to look carefully and consider this as well. Brethren, it was not Abraham's faith that was counted to him for righteousness. What faith he had was the faith of Christ. It was the faith that came from God. But rather, it's the object of his faith that is counted for righteousness. Look, Abraham believed God. And it, what? I mean, I understand faith and belief are related, but faith isn't even mentioned there. Abraham believed God, you know, like a verb, if I remember my English classes. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And the it there is the ultimate object. It is the object of Abraham's faith. It is Jesus Christ and his atoning death for his people. You say, well, Abraham couldn't have known. Well, Jesus Christ said he knew that. And we'll get into that later. And Abraham's faith at this point wasn't tremendous, you know. And what faith he had was the faith of Christ that was the gift of God. When God gives us that faith and imputes it to imputes righteousness to us, declares us to be righteous, it's not because we got a whole bunch of faith. Abraham didn't have a whole bunch of faith. He was still in the back of his mind saying, I'm going to have to make this servant my heir because I don't have any. That's how little his faith had been. But God said, I'm going to give you an heir. Jesus Christ and his completed atonement. Abraham didn't understand everything. When the Lord saves us, we don't understand everything. After the Lord saved us for 40 or 50 or 60 years, we don't understand everything. Some people get caught up in this stuff, and then they'll, particularly in Arminian churches, you know, you'll see folks, they'll be walking the aisle, you know, every week or every month or whatever, because they got to get saved again, because they didn't understand everything. Now, if the Lord saves you, it's done. It is finished. It isn't what you did. It isn't what you we're not saved by our understanding. And brother, it disturbs me somewhat because I see the same things even amongst folks who are Sovereign Grace Baptists. And it's like, well, when I get saved, still using that terminology, but should say when the Lord saved me, but they say, when I got saved, I didn't understand all this stuff about sovereign grace. So I guess what? Saved. So I got to get saved again. And no, it's not your understanding that saves you. I'm going to tell you what, I don't think I know, but just a smidgen about God's sovereign grace. Hopefully I'll know more tomorrow. That doesn't mean I wasn't saved yesterday. You see, Abraham's faith wasn't the great big thing. It was the object of his faith. And that faith that God gave him allowed him to embrace that and hold it, however tenuously it seemed from his perspective. In reality, God had him in his hand and no one could take him out. In fact, Abraham indeed saw the day of Christ. Well, look over at John 8, where the Lord talks about that. John 8 and verse 47. I'm going to read that whole passage there. John 8 and beginning of verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God. It's of God. Again, these things, but until you come to understand, I think, the doctrines of grace, the Bible is kind of like a locked book. There's so much there that you really never understood before, could comprehend before. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He didn't say, well, if you wanted to, if you just try a little harder, then you could hear them. No. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then say, if you would hear them, you could be of God. That's just turning it upside down and backwards. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now this gets back to what Paul's dealing with here in Galatians. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I always get kind of goosebumps every time I read that. You know? Before Abraham was, I am. I am the I am of scriptures. I am Jehovah God. And it gives me goosebumps, but it didn't give them goosebumps. At least not the way it gives them me. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I am. The Lord said, except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. Now, Abraham didn't understand everything. He saw his day, what the Lord revealed to him. But Abraham could reflect back to what we call the proto-evangel in Genesis, where the Lord said, you know, the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. God gave that promise. And those that are his embrace that. We don't understand everything. But Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God because God gave him the faith to do that. Abraham believed God that his coming seed would provide the salvation, would bless all nations, would provide the salvation for mankind. And back in Genesis 3, the proto-evangel, where the Lord said the seed of the woman. And he's saying the seed of Abraham. You know, God is going to bring this about. And God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to his people. And he does it, brethren, without the works of the law. And that's what Paul's point is here, because he says, Abraham believed God, and the scripture said it was imputed for him, or it was accounted unto him, for righteousness. Of course, you know the answer to this question, because all these false teachers are coming in there in Galatia. Except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. In Genesis 15, was Abraham circumcised? He was not. It says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. God had not yet given the token of circumcision yet. So, if back in, is Abraham a Jew? Is Abraham an Israelite? No, he's a grandpa of the Israelites, you know. Abraham was a Gentile. Maybe not of the same Gentile blood that most of us are of. It was a Semitic, but he was a Gentile. He was uncircumcised. And since Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, if God can impute righteousness to Abraham as an uncircumcised Gentile, what about those folks in Galatia? See? And that's the point that Paul's making there. And then Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, in Romans 4, look at a couple verses there, Romans 4, verse 3. And Paul said, For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, the faith of Abraham, which is the faith of Christ. His faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. God imputes righteousness without works. What momentous words those are. And so, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it the object of his faith to him for righteousness. We believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, Paul says. We believe on him that justifieth the ungodly. Well, you kind of get in this same old argument before, and it just seems so clear, if you'll stop and think about it, if the Lord will let you, is that the thing has to exist before you can believe in it. I mean, the justification was before the belief. We believe in him that justifieth the ungodly. So the thing we believe in has to have already happened. Again, it's not let's make a deal. It's not Monte Hall. It's not, well, maybe this will happen to me. No! We believe in the one that justifies the ungodly. And so that existed before the faith. And before God, that exists from eternity. Yeah. I think the scriptures are abundantly clear. We were given to Christ in eternity. We were in Christ from eternity. But brethren, it's made known in time. It's manifested in time. And we're allowed to embrace that and receive the benefits from that in time. And the way we do that is we're given the faith of Christ, which is the same faith Abraham that Abraham was given. And so we can be spoken of as having the faith of Abraham, because it's a faith, not Abraham's personal faith that he conjured up in himself. That wouldn't be worth spit. But he had the faith of Christ. And so the bottom line that Paul's making here, and he'll go on about it for a while, it's not circumcision that results in righteousness. Because Abraham was declared righteous before there was circumcision. Paul says this in Romans 4 and down in verse 9. He says, cometh this blessing, a blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? And Paul, of course, already knows the answer. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. God accounted Abraham righteous before he ever gave the token of circumcision. In fact, circumcision doesn't take place until many years later, when Abraham is about 99 years old. There in Genesis 15, he was about 75 years old. And God doesn't give this token of circumcision 24 years later or so. Here's the thing. God works on his own schedule. God said, I'm going to give you a seed. At first, Abraham said, well, man, I guess it's going to have to be Eliezer. And then God said, nope, that ain't it. And circumcision, when it was given, confirmed this covenant that God made. It confirmed and was a seal of the promises that God made. It became a seal and a testimony to the heart. Much like we speak of the seal of the Holy Spirit. Some folks take passages out of Scripture that talks, you know, we believed and we were sealed. Well, the seal of the Holy Spirit isn't what saves us. That seal is a testimony that we are saved. And that was like what circumcision was. Let's at least get over to Genesis 17, where God does, you know, begin the token of circumcision, and see what happens there. In Genesis 17, verse 10, God told Abraham, he said, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Circumcision wasn't a covenant. It was a token of the covenant. God had already made the covenant. Circumcision was a symbol, a sign, a remembrance, a token, a seal, if you will, He continues on in down in verse 15. And of course, you know, by this time, Abraham, and I don't have time to go through all this, but Abraham had first said, let Eliezer be my heir. And then Abraham said, you know, I'm getting to be pretty old, and Sarah's sure getting old, and she can't have any children, so I'm going to take me a concubine. So Abraham was going to help God out, you know, because God made a promise, and I don't want God's promises to fail, so I'm going to help him out. So I'm going to take a concubine by the name of Hagar, and I'll raise up that seed that the Lord promised me. And he did that. And he had a son called Ishmael, who's the father of all the Arabs. And how did that all turn out? You know? We're still fighting that today. But in Genesis 17 and verse 15, and we see Abraham's faith has grown somewhat, but, you know. And God said unto Abraham, verse 15 of chapter 17, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, I'm going to give you a seed of Sarah. And Abraham said, God, have you looked at how old she is? He said, maybe we should rethink this thing a little bit. And so, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Let Ishmael be my seed. God already counted him righteous. You know, Abraham's faith, we grow in our faith every day. Hopefully, we should. You look at where Abraham's faith came from. He said, Eliezer to, well, the guy just finished telling him, I'm going to give you a seed by Sarah. He says, no, let Ishmael live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a seed indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee. At this time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among them, among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of his foreskin the selfsame day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. So there was Abraham. First he said, let it be Eliezer, and then he takes a concubine and has Ishmael, and attempts to help God along in his promises. And I think sometimes we get that way, don't we? And I think some folks, and I'm not castigating on anybody, but they kind of get this way towards a national Israel. I believe God's called Israel back, and he's going to do it, but we don't really have to help him out. I think we want to be the friends of Israel, but, you know, we don't have to be slinging nuclear arms over into Russia or Iran or something. I don't think we need to worry. God's going to, when you do that, you end up with Ishmael. That's what happens. Abraham had faith, but he didn't comprehend everything. Sometimes his faith was weak. Sometimes he thought, well, I'll have to figure some other way out. And I think oftentimes, you know, we have to admit we kind of fall into that sometimes too. Oftentimes we kind of get like, and what came to mind to me is the father of that demon possessed child that was brought to the Lord. You remember that? And Mark 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Sometimes I think, you know, we just need to pray that. We believe God, but sometimes, you know, we don't understand everything. We don't comprehend everything. Abraham didn't comprehend everything. And yet his faith was the faith of Christ. And it was enough to embrace the promises of God. And God accounted him righteous. It's interesting, as we looked at that passage, I won't get ahead to all the things, but circumcision was a reminder of the covenant. It wasn't the covenant, but it was a reminder of the covenant. It was a reminder of Abraham's seed. And actually, you know, that's a pretty obvious thing, you know, through procreation. A man and his wife would be reminded of the promise of God, the covenant of God. They would be reminded of God's promise and of the coming seed. It was a reminder of what God had said. It was a reminder of national Israel that would come through Isaac, not through Ishmael, not through Eliezer, but through Isaac. But it was a reminder as well of a spiritual seed that we'll talk about more. God's elect. Well, God said the stars of the heaven. In that sense, we're the children, all the children of Abraham. You know, those that are believers. Because we've received like faith as Abraham received. And more importantly, it's a promise of that seed that would come from Abraham that would be the Redeemer. That would bless all nations. And circumcision was a reminder of that. It was a reminder to a husband and a wife of the importance and the sanctity of the marital bond. And how God was going to bring forth his promises. And you know, you say, well, other people practice circumcision. Yeah, they do. You know, because what? Abraham, what did we just read? He circumcised Ishmael. Which is kind of an interesting thing, because the Arabs, by and large, continued to practice circumcision. And what they're doing is acknowledging the Abrahamic covenant and the Messiah. I'm just like Isaac was circumcised when God promised, I'm going to give you a seed through Sarah. The Muslims, by and large, circumcised. Now, it's not set forth in the Quran, but it's set forth in certain of their other holy books. Well, most of them are Arabs. They're the seed of Ishmael. It's not surprising that they would do that. Wikipedia says it was practiced by non-Jewish inhabitants of North Africa and Asia Minor long before the birth of Muhammad. And then it goes on to say, quote, it came into Islam not from Judaism, but because it was already the custom of the Arab people who were the first Muslims. It was their custom because Abraham circumcised Ishmael. If you get in looking into it, supposedly Muhammad wasn't circumcised, but he was just born that way. And I don't know if that can even happen. But that's some of the stories that they have, but it is recommended in certain of their holy books. But the bottom line, again, I think of this is, it is a symbol of that Abrahamic covenant, and unknowingly and unintentionally or whatever, the Arabs and the Muslims acknowledge it, basically, through their practices of circumcision. It's kind of like when we talk about, you know, Anno Domini 2017, you know, the year of our Lord 2017. And the whole world basically is forced to acknowledge that, even the ones that don't want to. And they can pretend all kind of things, but basically we count time from the coming of Christ. Communists, everybody else. Well, some of them come up with their own alternate and parallel calendars, but they all are basically forced to go by that one to get along in the world. And it's just interesting how the Lord brings forth these things. So Abraham's seed, the promise that was coming of God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so Paul's point to the Galatians, and we'll look at this more in depth as Paul gets in it more in depth, is that, look, yeah, the Jews say Abraham's our father, but Abraham was the father of Gentiles. And Abraham was not even himself a Jew, per se, because, yeah, some of his seed became the Jewish nation, but some of his seed became the Arab nation, too. So, Paul's asking them to think about some things, and maybe we should think about those things. And in today's world, I think, again, it helps to guard us against some of this kind of stuff that comes in, because there's still these people going around basically saying these same sort of things. And you know, they're trying to promote, Hebrew roots and movement and that sort of thing. You know, we ought to be observing all the Old Testament laws, and we ought to be observing all this Old Testament. Well, we ought to know about those because they're pictures and types, and we should be, but we're not under that. And we shouldn't seek to bring ourselves under it. And that's what Paul's talking to the Galatians about. Okay, well, we'll pick up there next week, Lord willing, and we'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 249. Stand as we sing, Thou Hast Chosen. 249, Thou Hast Chosen.
Was not that I did choose me. His heart would still refuse me, but Thou hast chosen me. Thou promised in that saved me, washed me, and set me free. And to this end ordained me, that I should live to sovereign mercy called me and taught my opening mind. The world and else enthralled me to heavenly glories blind. My heart has gone above thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. Is knowing if I love first.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that you're a sovereign God, that you've loved your people with an everlasting love. And Lord, it's not because of anything we are or could be, or any decisions we could make, Lord, it's because it pleased you. Father, though we can't comprehend that, we thank you that you've made us the recipients of that love. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, the seed of a woman, fulfillment and time of your promises and your covenant. Lord, I pray you help us to live as we ought, to demonstrate whose we are, to conform us to the image of your Son, even as we realize there's nothing we can do to commend ourselves unto thee. There's no work of the law, there's no ceremony, no external works that any of us can do. Yet, Lord, you saved us, and you're willing to use us, and I pray, Lord, we might be those instruments you would have us to be. Thank you again, Lord, for each one that's here. Pray your hand upon them. You go upon them in the coming week. Pray for those that need your healing hand. We pray for our sister churches and our brothers in the ministry, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, help us to stand as you would have us to until you call us home or until you come for us. And we pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.